What a great day to be in the Lord's house, because today we look at the sacrifice that changes everything. And if you'll think about it for a moment, all of our lives have been captured by someone sacrificing for us, being willing to do something for us. For some of you, before you ever have any recollection of your entire life, you had a mother caring for you, a father reaching out to you. We all have these tremendous, beautiful stories that are all sacrificial in nature. We look back at them and say, thank God that person did that. Thank God that I had the privilege of growing up with this family. Thank God that I was in this particular church. Thank God that somebody helped me understand what life is really all about. Because really, when you get down to it, what makes life essential is are the people that sacrifice for us. Because when you look back at your life, the story of those who've been comfortable never takes you anywhere. But the story of those who've been willing to go the extra mile, to do whatever it would take in order for you to have life, they're the ones you remember. That's why we all are empowered when we hear sacrificial stories. You see, today we hear the story of one who was willing to die so we could have life. And today I have in my hand a nail that goes back to Roman times that would show you what kind of piercing nails would be driven into the flesh of the Son of God. When you look at this particular nail, you realize that the moment that it pierces your flesh, that immediately pain would accentuate all through your body. And this little nail nailed into that body was to cause us to realize that he would be willing to do whatever it would take so that we could have life. He was willing to sacrifice whatever it would take. You see, sometimes we just need to see it to understand it. And when we see it, we get it. And what we see today is we see as Jesus comes to the cross, we see the sacrifice that changes everything. So I want you to think about today is, as we think about sacrifice, how do you define sacrifice? When you think about someone who is sacrificial, how do you define it? In other words, when you look back and you look at your own life story, who was it that went the extra mile? Who did the extra stuff? Just a few weeks ago, the Sunday school teacher who taught me when I was in high school passed away. Died suddenly. She had breakfast with her husband, and by before lunch, she had gone into eternity. And as I got the message that she'd passed away, I got to thinking and recollecting about how many times she said something that I wasn't paying any attention to, except that I knew that she had sacrificed to study, sacrificed to say something that might grab hold of me, that might say something to my heart. How I thank God for people who come into our lives who are willing to sacrifice. And listen carefully. If people are to see Jesus, they must see people who are willing to sacrifice, because sacrifice says something that other things don't. You see, it's easy to pass a buck to somebody. It's easy to act in a certain way and think, well, that's going to convey the message by telling them, I'll pray for you. Sometimes it goes beyond prayer. Sometimes it goes to the point of sacrifice, doing whatever it would take to help someone realize that Christ is the answer. And so when you think about defining sacrifice, you also have to think about in your own life, when you look back, and you try to think about those who were sacrificial. I want to ask you a question. Can you identify someone who was sacrificial for you? I mean, somebody, you look back and you say, thank God I was in that life. That person was connected to me. That person said something to me. That person moved in my heart a particular way. And when I identify that person, I rejoice. I thank God. I look up at that person and think, you know, what a great, great person who came into my life. You see, all of us have people that their modeling of sacrifice, we identify with it, and it causes us to go the extra mile. In our church family, we've had lots of little babies born in recent days, and we've got lots of little babies coming our way in the days to come. And it's interesting when I think about every one of those moms and those dads. Let me tell you what I realize. They all have one common thread that connects them all together, and that is they would sacrifice whatever it would take for their child. They would do whatever it would take to help that child move forward. They'll do whatever it would take throughout their lifetime to help them realize that there's an answer to everything that they ask. When they get that point where they say, why, the day will come when you'll be able to say, this is how. And you give your heart to Jesus, and you guide them to that sacrificial understanding of the cross. So today, we come to this place where we understand sacrifice. And when you think about sacrifice, you have to think about what it's really all about, because sacrifice is giving up something that is critical for someone else. In other words, when you give it up, you realize, I'm willing to let go of this so that somebody else's critical need can be met. And that distinguishes just the difference between giving and sacrificing, because we all have a nature to give in all likelihood. We give in different ways. But the reality is, seldom do we sacrifice unless it's someone we truly love, someone we truly care about, someone who has a very clear need, and we want to go beyond the norm to meet that need. And we identify that as being something critical. Well, you can imagine as we come to this place in Scripture, I want you to kind of be captured by what's happening with Jesus. Jesus, in a moment of time, is capturing and saying things that are absolutely essential. In John 16, he's saying, "We have overcome the world. You will overcome it through me, and you will have tribulation, but I'm with you." In John 17, he says, "Father, this is what it's all about." And he prays that prayer that moves heaven. In John 18, it's there that we see Jesus saying that we must be on mission. We can't just hang around. And we looked at that so clearly in the weeks that have just passed by. Last week, we understood that if we are to actually accomplish what God has for it, we have to get the message. We have to know that it's Christ alone that saves. It's Christ alone that transforms. It's Christ alone that changes life forever. If you recall, last week we looked so clearly at what happens. What happens when Caiaphas and all the others come together? They bring accusation. They bring judgment. They bring fear. They paint a picture that's doom and gloom. And what does Jesus do? He brings his kingdom. He brings his authority. He brings the opportunity for you and I to live by faith. And that's why when you come to this day, how essential it is that we understand we have the responsibility to live sacrificial lives and understand sacrifice. And the only way to understand sacrifice is to see it modeled. In other words, if you don't see somebody else making a sacrifice, then it's impossible you understand what will it take for me to do that, to go the extra mile, to go that extra distance, to make sure someone else is touched and blessed. And listen, we live in a day where convenience is more important than conviction. We live in a day where people are saying what other people need to hear instead of what the truth is. And listen carefully. It is Christ alone who is the sacrifice that changes the world. It's that message that you and I have, the responsibility of. Today we will take a moment and we will look inside of our own hearts and lives and ask ourselves the question, am I pure? Am I holy? Am I sacrificial? Because that's what Jesus wants us to see out of this particular passage of Scripture. He wants us to understand there is a sacrifice that changes everything, and it is what Jesus has done by going to the cross. Now, as we come to this point, as we look at John chapter 19, it is here that the religious people have said, crucify him, put him on the cross. It's here that all religion has said, we want nothing to do with Jesus. And listen, over 2,000 years later, people still don't understand Jesus. The only thing they have is religion. It does not get you there. But Christ in us, the hope of glory, transforms the way that we think and changes our lives forever. In John chapter 19, if you recall, he's been in the midst of having to face up to those who are asking him questions. Pilate's asking questions. In fact, Pilate, as we see and look in this passage, realize that Pilate's story is one of always being convenient. Go ahead, do what you must do. Crucify him. Put the sign above his head. I'll not change anything. I'll name him the King of the Jews. That's what we see as we look at this passage. And so what we have to do is we have today look at our lives and think about it. Think about it for a moment, because we've just had a team that's been off to Ukraine and they went and conveyed a message of hope. They sacrificed their time, their energy, their resources to go to make a difference. We've got a team getting ready to go into Romania in just a few weeks. And Chester and I, this week, we were praying and talking about what's happening in that particular trip. Listen carefully. God is up to something profoundly significant. Let me tell you why. The squeeze of the situations we face, the environment we find ourselves in, different things are saying to us, God is up to something great. Just like we saw in the first service where we, in the midst of taking communion, people came to understand they needed Christ. And it became their life story. And so today, I want us to look at what happens, because the truth is, watch this carefully. We don't need a video clip to get this picture. What we need is our minds and hearts to see this. And here's what Jesus does. Let's look at it in John chapter 19. As you're looking there, we begin in verse 16. It's here that the crucifixion is the central theme of the story. And this crucifixion is something we cannot miss. So he then handed him over to them to be crucified. They took Jesus, therefore, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the Place of the Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two other men, one on either side and Jesus in between. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It was written, Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. Therefore, many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews were saying to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am king of the Jews. Pilate answered, what have I written? I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer garment, made it 4 parts, and a part to every soldier, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in 1 piece. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to decide whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture. They divided my outer garment among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, and Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to his disciple, behold your mother. From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the scripture, said, I am thirsty. A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. When you see this, this is where we see sacrifice through Jesus' eyes. This is where we see what sacrifice really means. And today we look at a fivefold story that unfolds. The first thing we see as these verses unfold in verse 17 is that here is Jesus bearing the cross. And you'll notice it says that he bears his own cross. He picks up that cross and carries it for all the sins of all the world. And that cross, that symbol, because he bore that cross, that symbol has carried through all of the ages. One of our little children was walking through the lobby area last Sunday after church, and she looked up at a sign, and one of those signs is that you must take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. She looked at me and she said, what is that cross? I said, that's where Jesus died for all of our sins. And she looked at Daphne, was with her, and looked at me and said, Jesus died for all our sins. I said, that's right. But I said, let me tell you, that's just part of the story. Because Jesus didn't just die, he came out of the grave. He's alive. Oh, she said, oh, he's alive. And all walking around the lobby, she's walking around. He died for our sins. He died for our sins. He died for our sins. He's alive. He's alive. You know what? She got the message. She got the story. And listen carefully. If a little kid can get it, we can too. We understand what it means to bear the cross. Jesus is bearing the cross. And what we understand is that there's very, very clear teaching for us. Somebody else can't bear our cross. Somebody else can't carry our load. We are responsible to bring our lives before the Lord. And it's interesting because I make note in your outline of his text that I don't want you to miss, because in Luke chapter 9, it's there in verse 23 where Jesus makes it very pointed, very clear. You have to deny yourself. You have to take up your cross and you have to follow me. Now think about this for a second. To deny ourselves is to humbly bring ourselves to a place where we live outside of pride. We live outside of what we want, and we do what it is that God wants to do through us. We deny ourselves. We set ourselves aside, and we say, I want to do whatever it will take. When I think about how many different moments in our lives we have the privilege of denying ourselves, not getting what we want, but what God wants for us. Setting our lives aside. And denial is a powerful, powerful thing, because what it says is, God has a way that is bigger than my way. It's better than my way. But he also said that we would take up our cross in obedience. We'd be willing to obey him. And what you and I need to see is that as Jesus is bearing his cross, here's what he's trying to say to it. Give up on the stuff that gets in the way. All this stuff that gets in your way, give it all up. Give it all up. Deny all that. Zero in on what counts. Start carrying your cross and start following me. I don't know if you've ever watched, but when a mom has little kiddos, it's interesting what they do. They may not all follow in a straight line. In our family, we had one that followed in a straight line. The other two wandered wherever they wanted to go. But they always had their bearings on where their mom was, because they realized that they were supposed to follow. And here's what Jesus is saying. You may every once in a while wander off, but you better get back in line. Because, listen carefully, when you're wandering off, you see things from a distance. Why did Peter deny the Lord? Watch this. He wandered off, and what happens? He got into a dark spot. You ever had a dark spot in your life? A moment where your faith was not strong, where your passion had waned, where your focus was out of sync, and all of a sudden you woke up and go, I can't live like this. I can't live not bearing my cross. Because the reality is, when you live that way, when you live outside of bearing your cross, you misunderstand sacrifice. And listen, we are people of the Word. The Word preaches and teaches that we sacrifice. The Word teaches that we bear our cross. But do we see what Jesus does? As he bears his cross, he moves into that next step in this journey. And I want you to look at it, if you would, with me, because it's here in verse 19. Watch what happens. Pilate wrote an inscription, put it on the cross. It was written, Jesus Nazarene, the King of the Jews. Therefore, many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. And the chief priests of the Jews were saying to Pilate, do not write the thing of the King of the Jews. Do not write the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I've written, I have written. You see, here's what we see. These signs, watch this, these signs were there for a reason. These were signs that fulfilled his purpose. Because here's what those declarations, watch this. The world and Pilate mocked him. But Jesus was indeed more than King of the Jews. He was King of the whole world. And so those signs placed there were absolutely an affirmation of the fulfillment of his purpose. He had come to die so we could have life. That's why Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Even though you die, yet will you live. Isn't that great to think about? Listen, the moment you take your last breath, you see him face to face. Doesn't that make you go, wow, I have goosebumps. Wow, I have something to live for. Because what are you doing? You're living out the resurrection. Because he is the God who brings hope to the hopeless. He's the one who causes us to see that his purpose will not be thwarted. And that's why Job, when he comes to the end of all his anguish and all his pain, he makes this declaration in the 41st chapter. No man can thwart the purpose of God. Listen, you may have walked through a valley. You may have endured a trial. You may have borne your cross through difficult pain. But you have a purpose. And that is so that people can see that nothing will deter you from being the man or woman God wants you to be. Listen carefully. If you let stuff get in your way, if you set your cross aside, if you allow that to deter you, what will happen to you? You'll lose the passion for life. And listen carefully. We have generation after generation of people who carried the cross faithfully, who carried the message of hope clearly to other people. It is our time to carry the cross. It is our generation to say to a world gone awry that Christ is indeed the answer. It is our purpose to yield to the signs that we see. And here's what we see by way of signs. Written across the inscription of the world we live in is chaos. We live in a world where culture has gone awry. Moral values have tanked out. It's not a week goes by that I don't see something on Facebook that says to me, what on God's earth has happened to our world? What has happened? And listen carefully. And let me just say this to you. Don't put a picture on Facebook that you don't want somebody else to see, because they will see it. And they'll wonder, what happened to you? Where did you go? What choice did you make? What step did you take? Listen, what you need to do is take a picture of yourself right out in front of this church building. Post that as your Facebook posting. Show this is what I did on Palm Sunday. And what you may discover is you get more feedback out of that than some of the choices you make that make people go, what in the world's going on with you? What's that all about? You know, see, here's Jesus. Can you imagine Jesus headed across it? Wait just a minute. I need to Twitter about this. I need to know, let people know that I'm taking 12 more steps. I mean, listen carefully. What is Jesus doing? He is moving towards a message of sacrifice. He is moving. Listen, he's posting what counts. And as those who have mocked him come up, they say, you know what? We want to get on this deal. We want to be able to say the right thing. And we want to make it change. It said, I am. He can give us this message. I'm supposed to be the king. And obviously, Pilate has washed his hands so many times. And you know what Pilate shows you? Pilate shows you that here is a person who has misunderstood what it means to sacrifice. He's missed the message. And he missed the message and he continued to say, wash my hands of this. We live in a world that tries to wash their hands of responsibility. We can't do that. There's a third thing that happened. After this, the soldiers begin to cast lots. And what you have to see here is as you see these soldiers casting lots, they're basically gambling. Listen, they're gambling their future over something that seems to be inconsequential. They're saying, let's make a joke out of this. Let's just throw it out there. Let's just make it all happen. It's the same thing is happening in our world where pastors' mouths say things they shouldn't say, throwing their dice before people. We live in a world where there's so many things being conveyed that is not anchored in truth. Here they are, they're casting these lots. Why is this important? These soldiers casting lots is for us to see something, that all of Scripture cohesively brings us to the culmination point of the cross. In Psalm 22, verse 18, it is there that the psalmist made it very clear. The day would come when the Savior, the Messiah, would come, and as he came, they would end up casting lots. In other words, they gamble their future away. And what you and I need to see is, as these soldiers are casting lots, what's the message for us? The message is that we must be careful to sacrifice, to make a difference, to be able to let someone see that there is an answer in this very unique, strange world. Listen carefully. It is not Jesus a part of our life. It is Jesus, our life, that makes a difference. And what Jesus, when Jesus went to the cross, he didn't go to the cross in some way that causes us to go, well, I'm going to be faithful on Sunday, but on Monday I can live any way I want to. Listen, he went to the cross. He went to the cross so that we could have life and have it abundantly. That's what John 10:10 is all about, which tells you something. Jesus came to sacrifice. Sacrifice so we could have life. Let's look on, though, because a couple of things I want you to see. The next thing you see as he is moving through this is he begins to talk to his mother in verse 25. And he's looking down. He sees his mother and the other people standing there. And you have to see this in light of how powerful this moment is. Remember, here's a guy who has nails driven through his flesh. He's not sitting there just saying, okay, man, it's time for a picnic. He's sitting there recognizing that he is bleeding and dying. And what does he do? Watch this. He looks down at John and says, this is your mother now. Watch this. Here's what he's saying to you and me. Compassion never ends with Jesus. It shouldn't end with us either. We ought to be willing to go the extra mile. We ought to be willing to go as far as we need to go. Compassion never ends. Listen, this is the message of sacrifice, that he was willing to say to John as he hung on the cross, this is your mother. And if you look back at history, secular historians will tell you that Jesus' mother ended up being taken care of by John throughout her earthly life. He got the message that Jesus' compassion never ends. And aren't you glad that his compassion never fails? That he has compassion on you and me. He looks down on us and realizes that we need Christ in our life. And then he finds himself on the cross. And I want you to see finally what happens, because it is here that there is a proclamation of a completed work. In other words, he proclaims it is finished. Three distinctive, powerful words. It is finished. When you think about that declaration, it's here that Jesus very clearly helps us understand that it's not an unfinished work. It's not a project still under construction. I don't know if you're like me, but I got lots of projects that are not finished yet. Lots of things I've been doing. Some of them are on my goal sheet, and I'm thinking, it's only April, but I'm lined up for failure because I'm not focused on those goals. Now, I need to zero in on more of them to make sure they're accomplished. As I told you a few weeks ago, my wife only had one goal, and her goal got accomplished like that. You know, but my goals take a while because they're things that I have let accumulate, things I need to take care of. Aren't you glad that Jesus, in these words, says, it is finished? It is finished. And you know what he's really saying? I mean, it's here that we understand what Jesus' sacrifice is all about. Because understanding Jesus' sacrifice is the only way to understand the cross and the power of the cross. It's when we understand what Jesus has done that we grab hold of this sacrifice that changes our lives forever. It's when we understand that these nails have pierced his flesh and he sacrificed so that we could have life. And it may very well be that you're here today. Here's what's happened to you in life. You've had turns this way or that way. You've lived life. You found yourself in the middle of life, but at the same time, the answer has always been clear. The answer of what really means to know Christ has never been clear. And I want to say to you that the answer that is clear that you need today is to know that there is a personal relationship with Christ that changes everything. It is Christ in us that changes and transforms the way we live, allows us to share truth with other people, allows us to bless other people, and allows us ultimately to understand how to be sacrificial. So I want to ask you a question today, and in a moment we're going to pray, and in a moment we're going to ask the Lord to do what only he can do. I want to ask you, do you know for certain that you understand what sacrifice is all about, what Jesus has done? Do you understand the cross? Do you understand what Christ has done? And let me say to you, here's what he did by being on the cross. He said, no matter what you did, if you would come to him, he would by no means, the Bible says, cast you out. He would become the answer to everything you're looking for in life. And so in a moment, we're going to find ourselves praying, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And not many Sundays do we do this, but I'm doing it this, and let me tell you why. I had such a clear unction from God during the first service that there were some that would be here who had never grasped what it meant to sacrifice. And all of a sudden, they would hear those nails, and they would see that blood, and they would realize that this was a body broken for them. And so if you're here and you've never given your heart to Jesus, you need to do that before you take communion, because communion is for those who've understood the sacrifice, given their life to Him. And so as we pray in a moment, if you're here and you've never said yes to Him, you've hung around it and you've heard a lot about it, but you never said yes to Him, I want to encourage you to pray in just a moment as I lead you. So every head bowed and every eye closed. As One Heart Church comes to a moment of prayer, before we commune together, as we yield ourselves to the Lord, I want us to think about this for a moment. What would it be like if you're here today and you choose to give your heart to Jesus? And you may be asking, how would I do that? How would I make that kind of choice? You do it by acting in your own will, saying, Lord, I sense what you have for me. And here's how you do it. You pray in simplicity, and you experience what is absolutely miraculous. And that is that Jesus said that if you will allow me to come in, I'll become a part of your life forever. And that's why we understand that God so loved the world that He gave His Son. And may we today, if you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus, I want to ask you if you would to pray this prayer. Say yes to Jesus. On this Palm Sunday, as we approach Easter, say yes to Jesus. Pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I give my heart to you. I realize that I'm a sinner. I've done things wrong. But I want you to come into my life to save me forever. Lord, I understand sacrifice today, and that is Jesus died for me. And I want Jesus to live inside my life forever. Jesus, I give my life to you. I repent of those sins. I transfer my trust, Jesus, to you. I say yes to you, Lord Jesus. And I do it based on the authority of your word. In the quietness of this room, with no one looking around, if you just gave your heart to Jesus, I want to ask if you would to lift your hand up. Lift your hand up and acknowledge that you've said yes to Him. Say yes to Him and lift your hand and say, I want to testify. I'm looking for other hands of people saying yes to Him. If someone else would say, I want Jesus in my life and heart. I want Him there forever. I want to be with Him forever. Father, you've seen those who are willing to say yes to you, because you're the answer to sacrifice. You're the answer to significance. You're the answer to all the meaning of life. And so, Lord, bless those who've said yes to you. May they follow you and yield to you, longing for your day in which you will call us all home. And we'll bless you for that in Christ's name. Amen.